Welcome. Well, you are at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. We certainly would love to hear from you, so send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com and check us out on Facebook. So this Easter season started with the death of Pope Francis on Easter Monday, and his funeral was celebrated this past Saturday, the day before Divine Mercy Sunday. And with all of this in mind, the question for today's show is this. So it goes like this. In this period between the death of Pope Francis and the election of his successor, how may Divine Mercy inform and empower your prayers? Well, first of all, I want to thank all the people and EWTN, all of the crews for bringing us all of this coverage. Beautiful coverage. Here we had so many beautiful things. We had Divine Mercy in Stockbridge. We had Father Allaire on our show just this week, and then he whisked up to Stockbridge, and there was great coverage there. There was coverage from Lithuania. There was coverage from Hansville, there was coverage from here in Irondale and in Rome and everything that's happening in Monse Alvarado. Matt Bunsen and Monsignor Landry have done an outstanding job with all of that. It's been so beautiful, so informing, and really helps you to enter in. And then not only here that we had our bishop, Bishop Raker here in Birmingham, Alabama. On Saturday evening, we had a vigil mass for praying for Pope Francis, and that was ever so beautiful. So there's been a lot going on, and we, during this time, should be a people that are praying, a people that are fasting, a people that are bringing our heart cries before the Lord, making special time maybe in adoration, to really be praying for our church during this critical time.
To learn more about the interregnum, that period in between popes, you can go to ewtn.com/interregnum, I-N-T-E-R-R-E-G-N-U-M, interregnum. So, I mean, here we are, 50 days of Easter. We're starting that whole thing there. 40 days of resurrection appearances. Jesus really was risen from the dead. He rose up from the dead. We believe in the bodily resurrection, and if we unite ourselves with him, we're baptized in him, we can have a resurrection like his. What a time this is. And then Divine Mercy Sunday, last Sunday, as you were saying, Joy, unbelievable, powerful. This opening up of the flower of Divine Mercy through Saint Faustina and John Paul's declaring her a saint, the first saint of the new millennium. John Paul said, this is the way for this century, for this millennium, the way of divine mercy, to understand what divine mercy is, and that divine mercy is moving towards you. Pope Francis, who had such a devotion to divine mercy, wrote that a papal bull, it's called, I think, Misericordiae Vultus. Misericordiae, misere, mercy, cordiae, the heart. Vultus, a face. Jesus is the face of the merciful heart of God. He's coming to you. He's come to you already. He continues to come to you. He's coming to you. His knees bent. It's moving. He's moving towards you. The water and the blood coming out towards you. His hand up trying to bless you. The only thing that could put this off is you. Receive the divine mercy of God. Whether you're sick, you're healthy, you've been betrayed, you're a betrayer, whatever you are. Jesus passed through the doors where the disciples were for fear of the Jews because they were going to be next to be killed. And Jesus went through the doors. Those who did not follow him, maybe St. John, who is faithful there, and he comes and he says, peace be with you, peace be with you, peace be with you. Breathes on them the breath of life, gives them power to forgive sins. Those who were such sinners, who didn't do what they were supposed to do. This is divine mercy. The greater the sin, the greater the mercy. Do you believe this? Receive it now. And our question for the day is, how does divine mercy play into this interregnum? And what's happening at this time. We want to hear from you about that or just about your Divine Mercy Sunday, because this is a time of opportunity, this pause day that's going on between popes. This is a special time where God's mercy wants to be poured out. Pray for this mercy upon your families, upon your friends, upon your enemies, upon the church that needs divine mercy, upon this country and upon this world that needs divine mercy. It's not just a teaching on mercy. It's really his mercy in his face coming to you. Say, I receive your mercy, O Lord, for my family, for my loved ones, for my friends, for my enemies, for the nations, that wars would cease, abortion would cease, euthanasia, suicide. It would all cease in the name of Jesus. It's a time of hope. 1-800-221-9460, 1-800-221-9460, 205-271-2980. No time to play with just conversations. We really need the real deal. Jesus is the one, the face of divine mercy. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, the question for today's show is this. In this period between the death of Pope Francis and the election of his successor, how may divine mercy inform and empower your prayers? We certainly would love to hear from you. So give us a jingle at 1-800-221-9460, outside North America, 205-271-2980. You know, and yesterday in the coverage that was coming from Stockbridge, and it was excellent, and the people that they were interviewing, and Father Chris Allaire was sharing that when we receive divine mercy, when we know that our hearts, that we have participated, that we have gotten what we don't deserve, that's mercy, right? And our sins have been forgiven, and we're empowered now. Now it should manifest itself in works and in words, not just like, oh, it's all good now. I have mercy. You know, I have grace. Well, now what are you going to do with your mercy and grace? Are you going to go to the lost and to the marginalized, as Pope Francis was such a beautiful witness in doing that and saying, we need to go and tell the truth. We need to be evangelists. We need to be disciples of Jesus, and we need to tell the world. Let me tell you something. This world is dying for the truth. People are doing physician-assisted suicide. They're doing drug overdoses. Abortion is on the rise. I mean, people are killing and dying because they're desperate, because they're hopeless. And you and I, as a people of God and witnesses of Jesus, we have been given, and Pope Francis has declared this whole year, especially the Jubilee Year of Hope, where we have words of life. We have words of hope. We have words of truth. And there are things that we can do that only you can do in your sphere of influence, in the people that you're in touch with, in your family, in your marriage, with your children, in your grandchildren, in your in-laws. You have that witness to bring hope. So you might be that cup of water to someone who is thirsty.
Yes.
Or to that soul who is in fear of where they may spend eternity, that you bring them words of life and words of hope and peace, as Jesus came in the scriptures today, saying three times, peace be with you, peace be with
peace
you.
Peace be with you.
Right? Yeah. And so people, they don't have peace. They don't have hope. They don't have the truth, and they're grasping at all the straws that this world is dangling before their eyes, thinking, this is going to make me happy. Yeah. Only salvation in Jesus alone is going to make us happy. And so we have to tell that and express to them God's divine healing mercy.
Amen.
That their lives would be restored, their souls would be renewed, and they would spend eternity with Jesus.
So the question is, and we want to hear from you, give us a call or Facebook us, email us. In this period between the death of Pope Francis and the election of his successor, how may divine mercy inform and empower your prayers? What's your thoughts on that? Give us a call or just speak to us about Divine Mercy Sunday and what it's meant to you, how divine mercy is playing out in your life and at this juncture in history. Mm-hmm. I want to share a scripture verse with you. As I thought about the question of the day, it's Hebrews 4:1-14. And it just seemed to me that this scripture really spoke to, you know, where we are at this pause, where we are in this time where we don't know who the next pope is going to be, without our papa, so to speak, the pope. And what does that mean for the church? What does it mean for the world? Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, the great high priest. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. And we're in a place of weakness and uncertainty and not knowing maybe personally and just in our church and where we are at this juncture in history. He's able to sympathize with our weaknesses, but who in every respect has been tempted as we are without sin. Anybody tempted? Anybody going through trial? Anybody afraid, fearful, being tempted and tried by the devil? Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we might receive what? Mercy, divine mercy, and find grace to help us in this time of need. Is that informing your prayers? As you're praying for the cardinals? As you're praying for Pope Francis as he's in his own transition? As our church is in a transition? As this world is in a transition one way or the other? Are we pleading God's divine mercy upon everything that's going on? How are you doing that? How's that working for you? We want you to call us. We want to know how you're interceding, your intercessions, your prayers at this time. And I don't know if we have the prayer that the Franciscans are praying for Pope Francis. We do, okay? So the Franciscans here are praying this prayer for our Holy Father. Lord Jesus, you've called Pope Francis to yourself. Thank you for the gift of his papacy. When he was with us, he tirelessly showed the church your constant mercy towards sinners. Grant him now your mercy and let him rest eternally with you and your kingdom through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Well, what I so enjoyed about Pope Francis and his beautiful witness was, you know, when he came home from the hospital and he would even, you know, come out and you could hear, I have asthma, I too know of laboring breathing. And it's a very scary feeling when you can't catch your breath. And you could hear him trying to whisper a blessing and yet at the same time trying to breathe. So we had that breath and heart and lung manifestation going. And that's a scary feeling. But he wasn't afraid. He came out. He got out before the people. He rode around, right? He was saying, you know what? This might be my last day here on earth.
It was.
And I'm going to have a witness. I'm coming out to the people, and I'm going to be with the people, and I'm going to show you how to live in Christ, and I'm going to show you how to die in Christ, full of faith, full of hope, right? And I really interceded so for him because my heart so went out to him when I heard him breathing and I was like, oh my gosh, that's terrible to have to go through that when you're trying to gasp for air and try to breathe and trying to speak. And then his face and how swollen he was, he didn't care. He was like, this is how I am. This is what you look like when you're dying. This is what you look like when you're suffering. You know, and family members say, oh, that's not my mother. That's not my father when they're suffering. You know, we should just dismiss them and let them take a pill because this is not who they are. But that's who they are in this state of nearing death. Yeah. And this is what it looks like. And he so boldly was out there with what a beautiful witness. And we as a people of God need to take heart of that and to say, you know, I have nothing to be afraid of. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. You know, I'm a convert to the Catholic Church. And the year that we came in, I was in the church 1 year. My priest resigned, my bishop resigned, and the Pope died.
Yeah.
That all happened. I had no priest, no bishop, and no pope. And you know what I loved about the Catholic Church? And I'm thinking, how is it going to be? Steady the ship. All of its faith and morals intact. Nothing was compromised. Every Sunday, Mass was celebrated. The people of God gathered. And I was like, yes, I'm at home.
Amen.
This is where I want to be. Nobody was panicking. Nobody was freaking out because Jesus is in charge of the church. And we as the people of God, we either believe that or we don't.
Right.
And you might have anxiety, but then you have to give your, you have to cast your cares to the Lord.
Yeah.
You have to give him your heart cry. This might be a time in your life where you want to have intimate union with Jesus and say, Lord, no matter what, no matter what happens, whatever direction you are taking the church, I'm just a soldier in your army.
Yeah.
And I, as a soldier in God's army, I'm working out my own salvation with fear and trembling. And there's just some things I'm not in charge of. But what I'm in charge of is my holiness, and we have to work that out.
So Jesus says in that passage, I sympathize with your weaknesses. I'm able to sympathize with them. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that you may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You can't just stay in your anxiety and in your weaknesses. You acknowledge it all, but then you go to the throne of grace and mercy, and I will meet you in mercy, in divine mercy. Here's a comment. I seek the intervention of divine mercy for all pregnant women across the world. I seek the restoration of peace in all war-prone areas of the world. And I ask for God's spiritual guidance and strength for the church in this crucial moment of decision-making. Yaw from Facebook. That's perfect. That's really in response to the question. And you know, one of the things that was pretty amazing, I don't know who showed this, you know, what network was doing it, but inside St. Peter's, there's President Trump, but President Zelensky from the Ukraine in the midst of war with Russia. And it almost looked like a confessional time. They both have chairs, they're in an open area there, and they're looking at each other. And I thought to myself, this is the time of transition. And look how the church has brought together people from all over the world, and they're trying to come to some kind of peace, some kind of resolution. What can you do? What can Putin do? What do we need to do? And it's happening inside St. Peter's Cathedral with Peter's body, you know, at the center of that place. Pope Francis, who wanted to, you know,
his heart cry was peace.
Was peace. Mm-hmm. And here's, you know, maybe a little step or two of something happening, that the President of the United States, the most powerful man in terms of worldliness, you know, possibly in the world, and Zelensky, and they're trying to make peace. That's what the church does. That's what we do, that we are called to be peacemakers. Blessed are those who work for peace. You're the children of God. We'll be right back. There's plenty more to come. God, thank you for your divine mercy and that it moves towards us. Thank you that the greater the sin, the greater the mercy, the greater the need for healing, the greater the mercy that you're moving towards us and our loved ones at this time. Those the furthest away, I'm giving mercy. Receive the mercy of God. You receive the mercy of God. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Well, to give us more information on what is happening at the Vatican with the recent passing of Pope Francis, we have Joan Lewis, who has been a wonderful communicator, especially on Facebook during all of this also. So Joan is in Rome, and she's going to give us her report. Joan?
Well, Jim and Joy, greetings from Rome, from the Eternal City, from a city and a diocese bereft of their leader, Pope Francis, the Bishop of Rome. And I think we're still wrapping our head around the fact that Easter Sunday, just a few short days ago, the Holy Father, frail as he was on the central balcony of St. Peter's Basilica. Very briefly, he spoke and he blessed the people below him. And then after that, went into the square in the Popemobile. And then we wake up Monday morning to find out that we've lost our leader. And here we are today. We can visit the Holy Father's tomb at St. Mary Major. He had wanted for many years to be there. He had a great love of a certain Marian icon there. Now, of course, this week has been a whirlwind of activity. Cardinals arriving in Rome, rosaries and masses being said every single day for the Holy Father, and then the Vatican laying out plans for 3 days of viewing in St. Peter's Basilica, and for the funeral mass and burial. And you know, I have to go back when I think of when the Pope died, when he was on the balcony on Sunday. I have to think of his words that day. He wrote the homily for the mass. It was read by Cardinal Comastri. But what the Pope said was so moving. He called on us to hasten to seek the risen Lord, like the first disciples. Is that what he was doing? But in any event, going back to the viewing in St. Peter's Basilica, 250,000 people viewed him up to about 7 o'clock on Friday night, and this funeral, of course, on Saturday, another 250,000 people in St. Peter's Square, including 130 official delegations, tons and tons of world leaders, and 10 reigning monarchs. And it was a sunsplash day, beautiful like today, but sad, but also filled with joy at the memories of this Pope. But after Mass, I want to tell you, the single most moving thing I may have ever seen in my life, the coffin of Pope Francis was put on the white Pope Mobile, driven out of Vatican City, St. Peter's, to St. Mary Major, transfixing the crowd of 150,000 people that watched in the streets of Rome between the two basilicas. An extraordinary moment. Now, there are 252 cardinals in the College of Cardinals. About 240 are in Rome as I speak. 135 of them are under the age of 80, so they can vote in the conclave that will start next week to elect Francis's successor. Now, we know for sure one Spanish cardinal elector cannot come, but we'll have final figures. The conclave is expected to begin on the 5th or 6th of May. The final Novendiale Masses, the 9 days of Masses for mourning for a Pope, that final Mass is next Sunday. So we will all be around here to bring the news to you, but I'm just going to end with a plea. Please pray all you can for the cardinal electors as they ponder a new pontiff and enter into conclave. Back to you.
Joan, thanks so much. Your ministry at this time has been so wonderful through the Pope's latest sickness, his passing, all that's happening. Thank you for being our eyes and our heart right there at the center of Rome and where the church is. Be sure to join us on Wednesday when we have author Greg Mayo on the show to speak with us about his book, Unraveled Roots for Men, Four Causes of Damaging Behavior. It's sure to be a great show, and we thank you for joining us today. Please receive the words that have gone forth. Please receive Jesus, who is the face of divine mercy. Receive now. Don't put it off until tomorrow. You may not have it tomorrow. We may not have it tomorrow. In our own lives, our family members, America, the nations of the earth, His mercy is moving towards you. Let's receive His mercy. You're an important part of this family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.